introduce me because it's so uncomfy having people say nice things about you in front of other people. Although it is really great to hear Noah say that we're friends, so that's encouraging. Anyway, okay, we're going to talk about revival. Praise God. We love revival, but we're also going to just jump into some history, some revival history. Is anyone in here like a history nerd? Like you just love, that hand went up so fast. Yes, because you know it. You know that you're a history nerd because it's an elite class of person. I am not a history nerd. So this is gonna be really fun. Hopefully a really fun history. What I am a nerd of though is Jesus. Amen. And what God does. Like it's just so clear that God exists and he moves and there's so many things. Anyway, I could talk forever. It never makes sense if I just keep going down that rabbit hole. So I'm gonna pray real quick. Jesus, we just thank you so much for revival and that it's your heart, God, to encounter us in such real ways. Jesus, we thank you so much for just the gift it is to gather as leaders and to talk about Gen Z and to just get your heart for this generation. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So I believe that Gen Z is primed right now for a radical encounter from Jesus. I think it's so clear if you've followed headlines, if you've seen anything that's happened like in the Christian world on college campuses in the last few years, you can see that there is something happening in Gen Z unlike anything we've ever seen. There is a hunger in this generation for a real encounter for God, for something more than what we've been dealing with, right? Like there's just this like war in Gen Z over what has been Christianity, and it's this like sleepy faith and what the gospel says is Christianity, and it's this activated faith. And so we see this like, I feel like we're on a cusp of something really great. If you know anything about tipping points, it's 25%, which is a lot smaller than I would have thought would be a tipping point. So like it only takes just a little bit of something to start movement, to change things. And so one thing I know of God, and one thing I've seen just as I've studied history and the Bible, I've seen that God loves to do the same things over and over again. That he loves to continually call the person that you wouldn't expect he would call. He continues to use young people to start revivals, to start something crazy in the nations. And so what we're gonna do for the next little bit is we're just gonna talk about two different moments in history where we saw God encounter a generation and they did something and the nations look different because of their yes and because of the way they encountered Jesus. So we're gonna hop all the way back to 1886. Great year. I don't know, probably wasn't. But 1886, 1885, there's this buddy pal. His name is Robert Wilder. He was a seminary student at Princeton. And him and his sister Grace, they committed for an entire year that they would pray for their generation. They committed as college students that every night they would pray that God would send 1,000 missionaries out of the college campuses in America in their generation. And they prayed this like faithfully every day. Robert would have some friends over and they would pray in the living room, and then Grace, his sister, would have to pray in the closet in her own room because 1800s were different. But they prayed, they committed, and they were faithful, and they had this like, if you've ever endured something, like if God asks you to commit to praying for something for a year and you do it every single day, you know that at a certain point, it's just like, okay, I am showing up. Like, I kind of would rather do this at this point, and I've done it so many, like I've already done it 285 days, God. What if I miss one day, you know? Like, there is a grit in giving our yes to something and keeping with that yes and to staying with it. And there's a grit, I think, that can really truly only come from an endurance of Jesus, an encounter from Holy Spirit. So Robert and Grace, they were praying. They prayed for that whole year. And then that next summer, 1886, there was a conference, a Bible study conference hosted by the YMCA and Dwight Moody. And so YMCA back then wasn't like a gym. It was the youth, wait, what is it? Young Men Christians Association. Something like that. Something similar to that. So it was these like men who were like gathering for their faith. So them and Dwight Moody, which if you don't know who he is, just write his name down. I don't have time to talk about him, but Google him. He's got a college in Chicago and did some great things. But Dwight Moody hosts this conference and it lasts a whole month. Like, can you imagine if we were just like, hey, come to Reach Gen Z? It's all of November. And they were like, yes, let's do it. Okay, cool. So they did it. They did this like month-long conference. It was a Bible study conference. And 250 people were invited, and Robert was one of them. And Robert was like, I don't really want to go. Like, this isn't my thing, whatever. And his sister Grace says, Robert, you have to go. There, I believe our prayers for a missionary awakening will be answered. She added prophetically, God will raise up 100 students who will volunteer for missionary service. So Robert goes. He says, okay, Sister Grace, I'll go. He goes to his conference. There's 250 people. And he immediately jumps in. And this is amazing because he's such a catalytic Christian. Robert is, he's got the grit. He's got the endurance of praying. But he's also the, like, if I'm going to gather, I'm going to mobilize. Like, I'm going to gather. I'm going to get people in a room and share my heart because it is burning for something. And the thing about Robert and Grace is their parents had been missionaries in India. So they had seen firsthand what the need was. Their hearts were broken in such a deep way of, man, I have seen the brokenness of the nations. I have seen the lost and the lonely and how deeply they need Jesus. So Robert goes and he starts this thing in the afternoons. He does this little prayer group. And he invites anyone who will come. And at first, only four people show up to his prayer group. And they all are like praying for the nations, praying that God would send more missionaries. And these are college students. All 250 people who came to this conference were college students. And they're praying. And they decide, we want to declare and make a pledge right now that we will go to the nations. So these four students and Robert sign these declaration cards, and it says, we, the undersigned, declare ourselves willing and desirous, God permitting, to go to the unevangelized portions of the world. And so these four people fill out these cards, they're praying, and it just begins to bubble up inside of them, their faith, and this encounter that they're having at the cross, and this burden for the lost. And so they begin to go out into classes. They go to the lunchroom. They go to their like games. And everything they do, they're talking about the nations. They're talking about the lost. They're talking about this burden that God has on their hearts. They're talking about this tiny little prayer meeting that's happening in the afternoons, to the point where it goes from 4 to 14 to 21 people. And again, that's out of 250 people, 21 isn't a ton of people. But the more people are coming, they're coming and they're signing these pledge cards saying, I declare that if God permits, I will go to those who have never heard the gospel. And so they go, they are praying, all these things. Robert is like, there's more. There is more. And so this conference, again, Bible study, not missional. Robert goes to Dwight L. Moody, and he persuades him within 10 days of the conference. He's like, give me a session. Give me anything. Let's talk about missions. And so Robert gives him two evening sessions on Fridays to say, talk about missions, invite people to do it, whatever. He does this. He has these two moments of like, God, we want to see more of our generation in the nations. And this like begins to bubble over. In the second Friday session, the Holy Spirit falls on the room. And everyone in the room is just overcome with the call of God on their lives. And they can't, like, there's just such a disruption. And one of the people in the room, his name is John Mott. And he is a pivotal missionary in that time. If, again, I can't go into him because time. But write his name down. If you don't know who John Mott is, Google him later because he's inspiring. But John Mott, who later became a crazy missionary, like, love the Lord. He wrote to his parents about this evening, about this session, about what Robert was doing. And he says, the Holy Spirit is working here with mighty power. He has brought about the greatest missionary revival the world has ever known. Up to this noon, over 80 of the students have consecrated themselves to foreign missionary work. And I know by Sunday night, they will number 100. It thrills me through and through to record this fact. Here, I have received a far richer anointing of the Spirit than I had dared to ask for before I came. So all of these students here, these 80 students, up to this moment, they came to study the Bible, and they met God. And what God does is he shakes us, and he puts things in our hearts, and he calls us to respond to the Bible. And this is what's happening, is they're starting to burn. And the last night of this conference, they're meeting, and they're having a little prayer meeting, like the final, like, thanks God for everything you did. Well, they had 99 people sign pledge cards. And at the very last minute, they're all praying on the floor, you know, whatever. Someone sneaks in through the back door, and he's like, wait, me too. I will go. And he signs the pledge card. And then they have 100 people committed out of this gathering to go to the nations. And from that, there was this like explosion of college students who were like, man, I want to go. I've seen the need. I want to meet it with the love of God. And so the next year, Robert Wilder and a few volunteers from Princeton traveled to 162 colleges, securing the names of an additional 2,100 volunteers. By the time this became known as the Student Volunteer Missions Movement. And so there were thousands of people who encountered this message. They would go on their like little circuits. They would ride around and share what God has called them to, like to local churches and other colleges. And the message wasn't this like, hey, I'm a missionary, will you support me? It was, hey, I'm a missionary and I need your help. Will you come with me? Like, I know that you are in my generation and I know that you have a call on your life like me. Let's book it out of here. Let's go to India. Let's go to China. Let's go to these people who are so broken and they don't know that God loves them. So by the end of the Student Volunteer Missions Movement, over 20,000 people who signed the pledge card went to the nations. So mathematically, that's one in every 37 college students in America. If that ratio still existed right now, we would see over 500,000 people in the nations right now. We wouldn't be having these discussions about the unreached people groups. We would be having discussions about a generation that couldn't wait any longer and they had to go. And the thing too, right, this is the 1800s, this is 1886. They didn't have what we have now, how we can go anywhere in like 24 hours. They just, half of them probably didn't really make it to where God called them to go. Like, but they were so gritty in their yes. And I see so much of Gen Z in that Student Volunteer Missions Movement, of this like grit of, man, when it's real, it's real. When that encounter happens, like there is no cost too great that Jesus could ask of us that we won't give, you know? And the next revival that I want to talk about, personally, one of my favorites. Not that you can really have a favorite revival. Like, I don't know if that's allowed, but anyway. So it's the Welsh revival. And this actually happened, I'm not very good at math, maybe like 20-ish years after the Student Volunteer Missions Movement took place in America. And what happened is we're going to start way back when, 1903. There was a pastor, his name was Joseph Jenkins, and I told you guys that we were going history. I'm gonna give you so many names today, and if you don't remember them, that's fine, but hopefully you remember what God does in history, you know? But Joseph Jenkins, that just sounds like a character in a movie somewhere. Like, he's definitely sitting on his porch, chewing straw. Joseph Jenkins, we love him, I hope that was okay. Anyway, Joseph Jenkins was a pastor in Wales. In 1903, and he started to get this encounter from God over his messages where he felt this unrest that he preached to his congregation, but he felt like there's no substance here. I'm just preaching a message that I feel is to make Christians more Christian-y. Where is the Holy Spirit in this? Where is the burden for God in my messages? And so he prayed and he encountered the Lord in such a great way that he was like, I can't continue preaching the way I've been preaching. I can't continue leading my church the way I've been doing it because it's not enough. Like, he just was so gripped with this burden and this passion for his church. And so, like, overnight, his messages changed. I can't imagine what it was like to be in that church, to, like, have your pastor that you love, and then all of a sudden it's like, what? You're yelling so much more now? Like, this is awesome, but, like, what? And that was Joseph Jenkins. He had this radical encounter and it just flipped for him. And he became so on fire for God. And one evening, he was sharing early on in this like revival of his messages in his heart. And he was sharing to his youth group just one of his messages. And there was a girl in his youth group called Flory Evans. And she heard his message and was so impacted. She wasn't saved. And she's like, I want to know more about this God he's talking about. I want to know more about what it looks like to follow this God. And so she goes to his house, and she was so nervous to talk to him that she waited outside his door for 30 minutes before ever knocking. Like, she just stood there in front of the door for 30 minutes. And then finally knocked on the door, and he answered, and he's like, come on in. So she comes in, and then they sit down, and she doesn't say anything. She just sits there and is like, so nervous to talk to him. Finally, she's like, what is this? What is this God you're talking about? Like, I feel this tug in my heart, but I'm scared of what it's going to cost me. Because what they were experiencing in Wales was a huge wave of secularism, where it was all about themselves and all about what was comforting to them and what served them best. And this like thing that I think, honestly, if we were to look around, we would see here in America now. And she was so gripped with, I want this, but I don't know if I have it in me to give up what I have now. Like, I don't know if I can pay that price. And he just looks at her and he says, well, do you want to accept Jesus into your heart? She says, no. No, I'm not ready. I can't give up my life and my ways for him. And he says, like, man, I think you should get saved, you know? Like, as any pastor would, you're like, okay, well, I still think this is a really good idea. You should probably get saved. But then he says this. He says, I think you should give your heart to Jesus, and then you should go in your room and close the door and look at, like, how much you can surrender to him. Like, I want you to go by yourself and just surrender everything to him. And so she leaves his house, doesn't accept Jesus in her heart. The next Sunday, they're at church. He's preaching his youth message. And he's preaching to the youth group, and he says, like, what does the Lord Jesus Christ mean? And a kid in the youth group, he stands up and he says, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And I can imagine people like, yeah, he is. But Joseph was frustrated. He's like, this is true, but is that a revelation? Is that an encounter? Did you say that because that's what you were supposed to say? Or did you say that because you are so gripped in your heart that it is the overflow of your spirit to declare that he is the Savior of the world? And so then he shifts it and he asks again. He says, no, let's ask this. He says, what does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? And the room falls silent. And Flory Evans stands up, filled with emotion. And she says, the Lord Jesus Christ, I love him with all my heart. And the whole room broke open in that moment, where people began to weep and cry over their sins, and people repented and came back to Jesus. And there was this movement in this room of young people saying, man, I want to love Jesus with everything I have. And that started something. A couple months later, Flory Evans and Joseph Jenkins, they go to this revival somewhere else in Wales. And there's a guy there, his name is Evan Roberts, who ends up, again, write his name down if you want to learn about him. I don't have time. But he basically, at this revival meeting, he has this encounter that's like, God, use me. I will be broken for you, whatever the cost, send me. And so Evan Roberts and Flory Evans, a lot of Evans back then, they go and they end up traveling throughout Wales for a whole year, and they share the gospel, and this revival breaks out in Wales where people are gathering. And it basically, right, like this, where did I write it? The revival was marked with fervent prayer, spontaneous worship, and Holy Spirit encounters. And if you ask me, that kind of sounds like what we've been seeing happening on college campuses. These breaking out moments of fervent prayer and spontaneous worship and Holy Spirit encounters. And I feel like we are in a divine moment, a divine tipping point moment, where God wants to encounter Gen Z like he's done with so many generations in the past. The Student Volunteer Missions Movement had a slogan. Their slogan was that they would see the evangelization of the world in this generation. I think that could be the cry of Gen Z, that they are hungry to see the world encountered with the love of God that they have encountered. And when I think about these two revivals and I think about these historical figures in revival context, I wonder how many Joseph Jenkins are in the room right now. I wonder how many Florey Evans are in the room right now. How many Roberts and Graces are here who are burning with something for a generation, who are burning to see a generation come to life under the identity that God has given them and to see the nations reached with the gospel. And so what we're going to do is, Noah asked me when I was prepping this, he's like, so what practicals do you have? I was like, I don't have any. But I do have this. When you look at these instances of revival, and again, God tends to do things over and over, right? Testify to do it again. If you look at these revivals, they are both marked with an encounter, with a prayer, with a hunger. So what we're going to do is we're just going to pray at our tables. I know we did some intercession this morning. We're praying again because we can. And we're just going to ask for God to encounter our hearts fresh right now for Gen Z. If you're not Gen Z, if you're a leader in this room and you're here to champion Gen Z, like, pray that God would give you a fresh heart for the generation. And if you are Gen Z, would you pray out for your generation? Pray out for the catalyst to arise. For those of you who are in the room who are burning with something, like, to pray out, like, enough is enough. Let's see God move in the nations. So we're going to go ahead and pray for a few minutes, and then we'll go from there. So, amen. Thank you, Jesus, so much, God, that you love revival, that you love Gen Z, God. We ask that you would just encounter our hearts fresh right now with the love of God, with your love for this generation, Jesus. Yes, God, we're hungry for you, God. Actually, pivot. We're still praying. I just feel like maybe some of you in here are burning for Gen Z. Some of you in here have hearts for your generation. So I want to open up the mic for like 5 minutes. Can we just, if that's you, if you have a message, or not a message, no messages, prayers. If you have a prayer on your heart for Gen Z, will you just form a line right here? Like, just, yes, just come on up and we're just gonna pray together. Like, we can pray for Gen Z. We can pray that God would give us a new heart for Gen Z. But yeah, let's just, if you can come whenever, just come on up and pray.
Jesus, we cry out for a generation.
Yes, God.
Like in times of old, like you did with John Wesley, God, like you did with Billy Graham.
Yes, God.
Would you do it again with us, Lord? Your word tells us in Psalm 85, would you not revive us again? There are so many broken people in our nation and across our world, and you're just waiting for a generation to wake up. So I pray that in the name of Jesus, that every person that is in this room and is under the sound of my voice will fall.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
We will see a generation saved. We will see the greatest missional movement that the world has ever seen thus far. And that generation, that movement shall be Gen Z. And then after shall be Gen Alpha and the generations to come until you return, Jesus. Until the completion of the Great Commission. We won't stop. We won't rest. And we will not give rest to our islands until we see revival.
Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God, thank you, Jesus. Yes, God.
Yeah, God, we ask you just to reveal to our generation that following you is worth it.
Yeah.
Lord, we know that following you is not easy, but following you is worth it. And God, we just ask that for a fresh revelation of the gospel, of the full gospel of what you've done for us. God, that you loved Timothy so much that you lived a perfect, sinless life for 33 years and died the worst death ever, to pay the price for our sin. God, so that we don't have to pay the price for our sin. And Lord, right now we just thank you that a full gospel is being communicated to Generation Z. God, that no longer will Christians live in comfortability and passivity, living out a false gospel or a half gospel, and no longer will our churches and our Christians communicate a false gospel to Gen Z and Gen Alpha. No longer will we make weak calls for salvation with a gospel that doesn't include transformation, that doesn't include your resurrection and ascension. Because Lord, we know that when you return, God, that when you were here the last time, or one of the last times that people saw you, you were beaten and battered on a cross. But when you return, that's not the way that you look. You will be riding through the sky on a horse with a robe that's dipped in blood, ready to judge the earth and make war. So God, we do this not for no reason, but for the hope of your return. Lord, we thank you that you can use our generation and the generations to come to see the Great Commission fulfilled. Jesus.
Yes, God.
Jesus. Revival starts with repentance. And we stand in the gap right now for a generation that is in bondage. Would you cleanse us, Jesus, of all hatred, specifically self-hatred? Would you cleanse us, Jesus, from all sexual immorality? Oh, worship of sex and pornography, Jesus, purify us. Of comfort, an idol of comfort, purify us, Jesus. Jealousy, gossip, and slander, Lord, would you forgive us? Lead us in repentance, God, so that we can be a generation marked by the fear of the Lord. Because that is the strength that will drive us to the nations. That is the strength that will drive us to pick up our own cross and to carry that forward. Jesus, when we pull Gen Z together for gatherings, would we be models of repentance? Would we be models of vulnerability? Would we break open the room? Would we free the fear of man by leading the way in honesty, in purity, and in wholehearted surrender and worship to you, Jesus, our King?
Yeah.
Because that's how they will know you are worth it. Watching people give everything for you, and then just giving you a chance. Because you're a God that can do so much with even just a small yes. So Lord, lead us to be people of purity. Would Gen Z be a generation, like I said, marked by the fear fear of the Lord? And would it change the entire nation of the U.S., the entire region of North America, and would it spread across the globe?
Mm-hmm. Yes, God.
And I just want to pray quickly one more thing, specifically for Gen Z's use of social media. Lord, would the Christians on social media take seriously their identity as missionaries and disciple makers?
Mm.
We pray against the use of social media for hatred and pain and gossip and slander. Jesus, would you bring conviction to every Christian that uses social media? And would we flip that on its head and use it to share the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Testimonies of what you've done in our personal lives. Testimonies of what you're doing across the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, have your way in Gen Z.
Can we just extend our hands out as a sign of surrender? Father God, on behalf of my generation, Generation Z, we repent for abortion. We repent for pornography and sexual sin. We repent of idolatry, of social media, of technology, of everything, the whole list, Lord. God, we repent of rebellion. We repent of witchcraft. We repent of passivity and apathy. Lord, we repent of forsaking our first love. God, we repent of anxiety and depression in the way that we focus more on that than we do of you, Lord, because darkness cannot stand in the presence of your light, Jesus. Lord, forgive our generation of our sins. Lord, and draw near to us as we draw near to you in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In Esther 4:14, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arrive from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such time as this. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to rebuke any lie of the enemy that we are not in the right time. That anyone here who feels like they're too young, we just want to rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And anyone here that believes the lie that maybe their time is over, that their time to minister has passed, that they already passed their prime, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That it would be you stepping into this place, touching our hearts, and letting us know that this is the time that you call for us. Whatever we have already lived, we have lived and we live in the past. And there is still a future. That as we're still breathing, you still have a plan. And we want to hand that to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We don't want our plans, we want yours. Could you reveal your plans to us right now? Could you open up our eyes to see Gen Z the way that you see them, Lord? Whatever generation we belong to, Lord, we just want to just like uplift Gen Z right now. That we would see ourselves amongst Gen Z. That we would know what you are calling us to do, Jesus.
We'll do one more. Yeah, come on, come on, come on.
I feel like the Lord wants to remind us of the first time that he called us into this. So whether that's a memory or the first name that he ever gave you to step into discipleship with, or whatever it is. I just feel like we can ask the Lord for that memory of when He first called us to remind us of what we first originally said yes to. So Holy Spirit, would you bring us back to that place? Would you take us back to when we first gave you our yes?
Mm-hmm.
And would you remind us of why it's worth it?
Yes, God. We thank you that your heart is for Gen Z, that your heart burns for this generation. Lord, would you give us a fresh heart for Gen Z? Give us a fresh heart to see you in a generation, to see a generation alive and thriving. God, would you renew us? Lord, I just pray for every pastor, pray for every leader in this room who has been serving, who is here because they are hungry, because they want to know how to reach a generation better. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit on them afresh right now? That you would rejuvenate them, restore, God, refresh their hopes. Lord, that you are stirring their hopes up again. God, would you pour out your joy on them? And God, I pray for every Gen Z person in this room right now, Lord, that you would raise them up as catalysts to a generation. God, you would release every lie that's been spoken over them to stay quiet in the name of Jesus. We break it. We break off passivity in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are our champion. You are cheering us on. You have accepted us as we are. Lord, would you release us from this moment, God, that what's been done in our hearts in this moment, God, would not be forgotten tomorrow, would not be forgotten Sunday, would not be forgotten next week, Jesus, but that our hearts would be continually burning for what your heart burns for, God. We bless you, God. We thank you, Jesus, that there's no reason to gather if it's not for you. There's no reason to pray, to raise up a generation, to do all of these things if it's not for you, Jesus. If it's not with you, Jesus. So God, we bless you and we love you. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Okay, that's it. Bye.
Such a good way to end this afternoon. Powerful to step in a place of prayer together, and that's just part of this time is just to contend together for God's good in this generation. Well, we're going to close out this afternoon. Josh, I might actually have you hand these out to each table quick. There should be a stack for each table. I just got something for you guys to take as you go in the afternoon. Pretty much the next